Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And every single time I have run, I have won every single congressional district in my state, including Michelle Bachmann's. Okay? It's when you guys are supposed to cheer. Okay? All right. So.
Please clap.
It's the person holding up the cue card.
Did she learn nothing from Jeb Bush? Please clap.
This is when you're supposed to cheer.
This is when you're supposed to cheer. When she said that, I was like, oh, no. No, people cheer when they want to cheer. They cheer when they're moved to cheer or applaud. And if you didn't just move them to do it, then it's not their fault.
What percentage of people in that room know who Michelle Bachmann is? They don't.
They don't.
Michelle Bachmann was, she was a tea partier that didn't stay in the House and ran for president and then dropped out. And she was a big deal while she was a big deal. But these people don't know Michelle Bachmann.
What about a number of those people in that room know who Amy Klobuchar
right,
is?
Right, exactly.
She's, well, welcome back.
Annie's back.
Hey!
Hi-oh. You guys have a good Easter?
Yes.
You probably talked about this yesterday, but I didn't get to talk to you about it yesterday.
It was a beautiful day.
We did.
It was an absolutely amazingly beautiful day. So, yeah.
You picked a good long weekend.
Well,
perfect weather.
So my birthday was Maundy Thursday, so I have always... When we were at Emmis, we'd get a birthday day off,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, my kids are in school. My husband's a teacher, so they had, my kids had all last week off, plus Easter Monday, and my husband had Thursday, Friday, Monday off, so I shortened my little spring break to a four-day weekend, which I think is the first vacation that I've taken so far, this year.
Mm-hmm.
I needed them, yes. It appears.
Good for
and
you.
You took it for your birthday, and yeah. Easter was great.
Yeah, so I got to see a lot of family, and the weather was absolutely wonderful.
Can I just do a quick plug here real quick? I know you just got done talking about Sweetology.
Yes.
We did the cookie kit, same cookie kit I think you were just talking about, at my mom's house. My mom bought my kids that cookie kit because she heard you talking about it on the radio.
Fantastic.
And it was the highlight of the night.
Sweetology comes through. That's awesome.
Yeah, we actually did that on Friday because we did it on the same night that we dyed eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So we made cookies and then dyed eggs and got everything ready for Easter.
Cookies are good.
And yeah,
they're
and the
delicious.
Icing. There's way more icing than you need.
Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask the 6 and 7 and 8 year olds,
more.
We were just eating the icing straight out of the container. It was incredible.
We did a Facebook Live with the kits that Sweetology sent us on Easter, and I'd highly encourage you to like the Facebook page. We are over 6,400, 6,500 mm-hmm. people on our Facebook page, but as we're decorating these, this is totally unplanned, totally not staged. Mm-hmm. I went off to the side to talk a little bit while they were decorating the cookies with my sisters, and all of a sudden I get, "Hey, that's a Donald Trump cookie." And I'm like, what?
Huh?
And I go over there, and sure enough, my nephew made a Donald Trump cookie. And I don't think it started out intending to be Donald Trump, but he was using the yellow icing, and mm-hmm. it just kind of happened.
Yep.
And it was pretty amazing. So go check that out. Really great of the Sweetology folks to set us up with that. And I'm so glad that your mom pulled the trigger on that. I would go to Sweetology.com and you can see all the fun stuff you can do there. Also, some serious classes, not serious, but like some cool classes that you can take. And they have their liquor license. So if you go there, you can drink while you do it, which would make it even more fun.
Yeah, it was a blast. It was a blast.
Do you? Okay, so you, neither one of you took time off, right? You okay. When you do take time off, if you ever do, and you are not plugged in to the day-to-day, which is the way most people are. Mm-hmm. You know, people tune into our radio station here on their ride to and from work or at lunch right now. If you're sitting in a drive-thru somewhere, thank you for having us on in the drive-thru. Mm-hmm. But if you're not plugged into this on a day-to-day fashion, there, some of this stuff seems to become very much minutia.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And extra annoying that, that you know, the, these town halls with these Democratic candidates, I mean, the stuff that they're throwing out there, the Elizabeth Warren, what is it, $650 billion, is that right?
Yes.
Student loan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to find my paper.
Yeah, wants to forgive all student loans.
But what if you, $640 billion student loan cancellation. What if you paid off your student loans?
I know.
What if you went to trade school because you knew it was not going to get you debt and you paid a little bit of money to go to trade school and now you have a good job, but you paid that money.
Yeah.
So you were responsible and made a responsible decision. Or what if you, you know, have a lot of student loan debt, but you're also a doctor right now, but your income is pretty high because you're a doctor, but you had to pay a lot of money, but you're going to get less money back because you make more money. I mean,
what if you racked up tens of thousands of dollars in debt, like many hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, like many kids do, and you're in your early 30s, you're still paying it off, and you make that last loan payment the month before Elizabeth Warren gets elected president, and then she forgives it all.
Crying.
How awful.
I would sue. And,
exactly. And how does this make college become more affordable for anyone? All this does, in the same way that it did for healthcare, all this does in this socialistic, idealistic way of accommodating people is guarantee the people who are charging inordinate amount of money to young people who don't realize that their women's studies liberal arts degree is going to get them nothing. It's, you know what it's going to possibly do? It's going to make them have to go back and get more schooling so they can be a professor who can actually make six figures to teach, you know, not full time and then teach more kids to do that. It's a perpetuating cycle that doesn't make it any more affordable or accommodating for people who maybe aren't, you know, in their words, privileged to access good quality careers without being debt ridden when you go into your career. It doesn't make any sense. And she doesn't. Does she, okay, real question. Does she know that? Is this just a ploy to get support?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's her trying to top Bernie Sanders.
It's pandering.
Yeah.
100% pandering.
Yeah. So then you have people who maybe go to junior college and get an associate's degree and get a job. And then you have people who went to a state school, worked their tails off to get scholarships, worked really hard. You know, maybe people who worked really hard to put themselves through college and not take out loans.
And is it a one-time? Is it a one-time? Okay, any student debt from this that exists right now is gone. But then, do you just immediately start? So if you're a freshman or a sophomore in college, and you've got a couple of years, but you've got a couple of years to go, but you've got a couple of years where you've racked up some debt. Is that debt forgiven, but you are immediately starting to accumulate new debt?
So,
or is it all student loan debts are eliminated forever?
The leading 2020 presidential candidate, according to Fox News, unveiled a plan on Monday going further than most of other Democratic candidates when it comes to education policies, pledging to cancel almost all student loan debt for 42 million Americans. Under Warren's plan, each person's student debt would get a relief of $50,000 if household income is up to $100,000. So if you're making $100,000 or less, you would get $50,000.
Household income.
Household income.
So if you're married,
to
if you're both making $50,000, you don't qualify.
Well, higher incomes would also be entitled to massive debt reductions.
Oh.
While only those households with earnings of over $250,000 would get no student debt reduction. So if your household makes over $250,000, which a doctor absolutely would qualify for that, but still have a ton of student loan debt because they actually needed to go to school to know how to cut you open and fix it up and put you back together again and send you on your merry way, would not qualify. So that's not fair either. It goes on to say, quote, for example, a person with a household income of $130,000 gets $40,000 in cancellation of student debt, while a person with household income of $160,000 would get $30,000 in cancellation, Warren said in a blog post. This Josh Jordan, somebody on Twitter, said, do I get a refund for having chosen a cheaper public university so I wouldn't be riddled with a ton of debt? Seriously, this is stupid. Everyone knows that what they're borrowing when they go through the process, and I want no part in paying off everyone else's student loans. So you've got people who spent the time and the money, made the money to pay off their own student loan debt, and then you think you're gonna forgive $640 billion in student loan debt for 42 million Americans, and that money's not going to come out of your pocket somehow, some way?
Crazy.
It's insanity. And then another Twitter user says, you better retro that and pay back all of us who diligently paid our loans back in full if you pull this bull blank. Another one said, no, I sign on the dotted line. I will pay it off. I still owe over $40,000 and I refuse to let you rob me of fulfilling my obligation. Another person says, but I don't want to pay for other people's college or college debts.
That's a big one.
It wasn't that long ago.
That's Kurt Schlichter.
Yeah. That we paid off ours. It was not really that. In the grand scheme of things, it was not that long ago that we made the last payment on my wife's college. And part of the reason that we were in debt for so long is we were idiots. And we took advantage of the system, and we were jerks about it. And I remember being married. She was in her last semester of school. She was done, but she could still apply. So we applied and got, like, the most money we could get because we wanted it right then because we wanted to do something for – we had just had Grace and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But you – that was a mistake. That was a bonehead, selfish – short-sighted thing to do
that you
and we knew it at the time,
and you have accommodated for that. You're not asking anybody else
exactly
to do it for you,
and it's my mistake, and we had to pay for that mistake, as we should have. And there are many other people that have done even worse things than much worse things than that.
That's a fantastic point.
And so everybody shouldn't. It's not. You're not just forgiving debt from kids who just got enough just to go to school and. Stuck by. You're also giving, you're also forgiving all these people that took advantage of the system like we did.
To take a loan out to pay for an apartment.
And basically,
or do something
like
that.
Exactly.
Completely. Jim, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, I was wondering. Now, the reason the student loan debt is so high is because under the Obama administration, they seized control of all student loans with the idea that the interest would be paid and that would be used to fund Obamacare. Now, you have Elizabeth Warren. She wants to erase all student debt. It's my understanding she wants to give free college. She wants to give free health care. Where's the money coming from?
Well, according to this Fox News report, she claims that the cost of the policy, in addition to her proposed universal free college, would be, quote, more than covered by her ultra-millionaire tax, a 2% annual tax on the 75,000 families with $50 million or more in wealth.
Oh, until they move out of the United States to avoid the tax.
Yeah.
And then another, if she wants to be treat everybody equitably, I hate the word fair, why doesn't she also erase all mortgages? Because I'm sure you have people that went on and bought their $350,000 house, which was way more than they could afford. So right now they're saddled with that terrible debt. So why doesn't she also erase all home mortgages?
Sure. And it goes on and on and on and on. People need cars to get to work. Why should we have car notes and so on and so forth? I mean, it's just un-American. And like I said, does she know what she's doing or is she pandering? It kind of sounds like she's pandering.
Oh, definitely. She's pandering. That's all.
Jim, thanks for the call.
All righty.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to speak with the RNC national spokesperson, Blair Ellis. We're also going to get to some more of your phone calls. So hold on the line there, 314-241-9797. Blair Ellis as soon as we come back. I'm going to ask her about these Democrats running in 2020 and see what she thinks they do. How are they going to compare to Donald Trump in the next election? We'll have that conversation in just a minute. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you believe that Americans should have the right to vote at age 16?
I'm really interested in having that conversation. I have to tell you that. I think that there is no question that if we are looking at what is going on in our country, we are putting more responsibilities on people at a younger age. And the larger number of people that we can involve in the electoral process, I think the more robust it would be.
That's Kamala Harris running for president. And her poll numbers as of this point in time aren't looking so great, but I think she's probably in it for the long haul. Here to talk about the 2020 Democratic primary as it is going right now is the RNC national spokesperson, Blair Ellis. Blair, thanks for coming on the show today. Good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me on. A pleasure to be with you, especially after last night's wild and crazy evening.
What's your take on the direction of the Democrats right now? What do you think is the most defining thing about this Democratic primary?
I think it's just how extreme they are. And I think we really got to see it on full display last night, back to back to back. We got to see just how far left all of these candidates continue to move. You know, we've seen at this point, Bernie Sanders has at this point kind of full-throated endorsed convicted terrorists, sex offenders, and murderers to be able to vote from prison. I mean, it's just unbelievable that these are conversations and that these are thoughts that these Democrat candidates are having, and it's alarming more than anything. And I hope that more than just people that tuned into CNN last night are kind of following some of these statements, because it is absolutely alarming.
Yeah, you know, I think when, especially the listeners that we talk to every day here on 97.1, the idea of this far progressive socialist ideas of folks like Bernie Sanders and not running for president, but in the House, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and the way a lot of other people, Elizabeth Warren saying she wants to basically forgive all student loan debt, $640 billion of it. It almost seems like a joke to people who are in our, you know, hardcore listenership who support this president. But I'm worried that we're not taking it seriously enough on the Republican side, that this Bernie Sanders has as much support in this primary as a lot of the polls suggest that he does. Do you think that a Bernie Sanders can pull off a nomination from this Democratic Party and challenge a president?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think anything is possible. But I think at this point, the thing that really sticks out to voters about Bernie is that they know where he stands on things, you know, that this isn't Bernie's first rodeo in terms of running for reelection. And we know just how far left he is. And he continues to kind of surprise us every day, including last night, to be honest. But he's a familiar face and a familiar name in the inbox, you know, or the familiar name on Twitter, familiar on TV. And I think that there are just a lot of people that are just original Bernie Sanders supporters that felt like he was really gypped back in 2016 when the DNC kind of laid a hand on the scale and tipped it in favor of Hillary Clinton. I think there are a lot of liberal supporters out there that feel like it's Bernie's time. And I think he is a little, I think right now he's tends to be polling a little bit higher than I think a lot of people are giving him credit for. I think he's raising a ton of money, and I think people need to start taking it seriously that Bernie Sanders could definitely be somebody who's on the ballot up against Trump come 2020.
I want to play a clip for you here. This is Kirsten Gillibrand.
Right now, Bernie Sanders first in New Hampshire in a new poll today. Pete Buttigieg moving up. Joe Biden has name recognition. Those are the top three. Why do you think white male candidates are doing better than any of the women candidates?
Well, I don't know, but this is a marathon and not a sprint. And I know that I have a vision for this country and the experience to actually get it done and a plan to get it done.
So when you listen to Andrea Mitchell talking to Kirsten Gillibrand there and the concern about a white male candidate doing better than anyone who isn't a white male candidate, The identity politics game is strong with the left. They kind of live and die by it. And it's interesting to look at these polling numbers and see Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, all of these white males on top of this list on the Democratic Party. How does their identity politic game plan fit in with this idea of three white guys at the top of their tickets?
So I think that those three particular candidates are doing much better than a lot of people anticipated, and I think it's definitely taking the liberal base by surprise, and it's probably taken some political pundits and some of the DC insiders so to speak by surprise as well. I think that everybody kind of foresaw elevating kind of a younger, a fresher face, whether that be a Kamala Harris or a Cory Booker. And so I think there are a lot of people that had written off people like Bernie or Pete Buttigieg, either because, you know, Bernie has run several times before, or Pete seemed at first a little bit of a newcomer. But I think that kind of what we're learning is maybe the Democrat base doesn't know what they want, and maybe we shouldn't cast a stereotype of, oh, they want a young and a fresh face. Maybe they do want a Bernie Sanders. Maybe they like the idea of they know what they're getting with a Bernie versus someone who's a little younger and a little newer to the political scene, may not have as strong of a record in their mind as that of Bernie. And so I think, again, we need to take every contender that is in this Democrat field right now very seriously. We don't need to write anybody off. I think the Republican Party, at least the RNC and Cheryl Monrana McDaniel, are taking every candidate very seriously, and we're ready to put them up against Trump's record any day.
Well, you mentioned Pete Buttigieg. Let's listen to this from him.
I also think it's important that we not drown people in minutiae before we've vindicated the values that animate our policies. Because as Democrats, this is a habit that we have. We go right to the policy proposals, and we expect people to be able to figure out what our values must be from that. I expect that it will be very easy and clear to tell where I stand on every specific policy challenge of our time. But I'm going to take the time to lay that out while also talking about values and everyday impacts, rather than competing strictly on the theoretical elegance of the proposals themselves.
So Pete Buttigieg there talking about establishing values before policy and saying that Democrats have a rough time of putting policies out there and having people understand their values. Kind of think it's the opposite. I don't see a lot from the Democrats coming out and being like, policy, policy, policy. It's always kind of puppy sunshines and rainbows if you elect a Democrat. It's all about the feelings. That's my take on it, at least.
Totally, totally. I think at this point, the only real policy proposals that we've seen put forth by Democrats are the ones that are completely extremist and unaffordable. I mean, we've seen a $32 trillion government-run healthcare proposal from Bernie and from others that's going to abolish private health insurance. We've seen a $93 trillion Green New Deal that's going to put an incredible tax burden on every American in this country. And then other proposals they're kind of willing to not take a stance on, i.e., what do we do about the crisis at our border? But what are their proposals? Let's support open borders. Let's abolish ICE. Let's tear down existing border walls. So, you know, I'm with you. I think the only thing that Democrats are good for is appealing to emotions. They don't have substantive policies, and they certainly don't have a way to pay for any of those substantive policies either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you listen to Elizabeth Warren and her $640 billion college debt payoff, and this is going to be on an annual tax of the top 2% annual tax on $50 million or more in wealth families. This is how she's going to cancel $640 billion of debt and provide free universal college. We just had a caller call in right now. It says, what happens when those people leave the country? If you're talking about a finite group of individuals, you know, are these people going to fund the liberal arts degrees that are going to turn into no jobs after they get out of college for the rest of us? Is that the Elizabeth Warren plan?
Right, right. Again, there's no way to pay for it. And to a certain extent, let's talk about how that's going to really penalize the people in this country, students in this country, that have taken it upon themselves to prioritize paying back and paying off their student loans. What a slap in the face to those kids that were really stretched bill to bill, month to month, but made it a priority to pay back and pay off their student loans. And yet here Elizabeth Warren is saying, oh, never mind, you have debt, you have bills you haven't paid off, we'll just wipe it clean and forgive you for all your sins, no worries. That's not teaching accountability. That's not teaching how to prioritize budget or spending. That's also not teaching any kind of responsibility to our future generations. This is certainly not a viable sought from Elizabeth Warren, and it's just not a responsible way to steward taxpayer dollars and to encourage people to pursue degrees that are going to have, you know, a worthwhile ROI.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Last question before we let you go. We're speaking with the RNC national spokesperson, Blair Ellis. We hear Joe Biden's going to be getting into the race probably this Thursday with an online video, and then he's going to start the campaign trail. He seems to be pretty moderate. He seems to, at least according to, relatively speaking, with what the Democratic primary has for us so far. Is there going to be an appetite for that? Does he seem like a viable candidate as well for Donald Trump in 2020?
You know, I'm unsure how I think Biden's going to fit into this 2020 field. I think there are a lot of people that like the idea of a Biden, but then there's also the side of me that thinks that Biden's trying to really paint himself as this far leftist, and he was. I mean, as Obama's kind of right-hand man, he is somebody who ultimately backed the failed Iran nuclear deal that was put forth and ultimately oversaw a lot of the Russia, you know, or lack thereof, wasn't able to put a thwart on the Russian cyber meddling that took place during the 2016 election under the Obama administration. There's a lot of kind of policies that Biden's going to have to own because of his association with the Obama administration. I'm interested to see how he distances himself and what far-left proposals he's willing to start embracing, because the rest of the 2020 Dem field is having to do that right now.
I think it'll be interesting to watch and see how far left they're willing to go. Blair Ellis with the RNC national spokesperson, thanks so much for coming on the show today. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon. On Twitter, @_BlairEllis, you can follow her there and tell her thanks for coming on the show. I think she's spot on a lot of those assessments. And I also think that not taking, you know, Bernie Sanders seriously because he's a socialist is dangerous. I think we should take it very seriously. I think we should be advocating on a regular basis for how painful it would be for the United States to take a hard left turn into socialist government. It's not good, but it is real, and he actually has quite a bit of support. And the idea of Pete Buttigieg not being a legitimate candidate, I think he is a legitimate candidate, and I think he's very, very possibly on a ticket somewhere, if not at the top of the ticket. I think he would make a very interesting middle America white male who happens to be gay. You know, that's the way he's being put out there. And with Buttigieg's initial introduction to the country as a main character in this race, he came out attacking Mike Pence. He came out directly attacking the vice president of the United States for a religious quarrel that Pence has repeatedly said that he's not involved in. So he's definitely out there. He's definitely making a case to go straight at Mike Pence. Can you imagine what the vice president debate is going to look like if Pete Buttigieg is the vice presidential candidate up against Mike Pence? After the entire reason why he's in this race and number three in line.
Like, that's must-see TV.
I know. Kind of want it to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if you don't know how to say Pete Buttigieg's last name yet, practice it. Because all I hear when I hear people say, you don't need to learn it, it's not going to matter, is the my favorite YouTube video that exists, which is the array of people saying, Trump, you're not going to be president, over and over and over again. Like, Donald Trump is not going to be the president of the United States. Well, that is sweet victory to watch right now. I don't want to be part of some tape roll later on down the road where Pete Buttigieg, everyone's going, you know, goofing up his name. And
yeah, mm-hmm. Buttigieg.
It's now time to learn how to say Buttigieg.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we don't have to say it anymore down the road, we can remember the times.
Yes.
Win or lose, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
There was a story yesterday that illustrated how Bernie, Joe, and Buttigieg have separated themselves from
the pack. Funny that you would choose to say his last name, all three of them.
Yeah.
Bernie, Joe.
He's not on first. I guess maybe he is. Mayor Pete is on first name basis. When you
Mayor
say Joe
Pete,
and Bernie, everybody knows who you're talking about. But those three in the poll, there's a poll out of New Hampshire about the upcoming primary there, and those three are far and away ahead of the rest of the pack. So
nobody hates Pete Buttigieg more than Beto.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
And Pete is not, it was like 30% Bernie, 18% Joe Biden, and 15% Mayor Pete. It wasn't like he was
He's not a distant third.
He's right in that pack.
Completely.
He's the calm Beto.
It'll probably fade, but it's not going to fade for a while.
Yeah. And all I can think of is the 2016 election and the 2015 when it started the primary, and we had 52 people running for president. I mean, we were here. We did this.
Yeah.
And it produced Donald Trump. And I will be very honest and say I never saw that coming. Mm. So I wouldn't count any chickens quite yet. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the highlights, and we can take some more phone calls. Mark Cox is going to join us at 1:25. Looking forward to having that conversation as well. We'll be back in just a second.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are going to introduce legislation to ban the glass and steel skyscrapers that have contributed so much to global warming. They have no place in our city or in our earth anymore.
Is this real life? We're banning skyscrapers?
Mm-hmm. Done with it.
Can you do that?
That story is incredible.
You're going to ban the skyscrapers?
Done.
And when I...
And rebuild.
When we first read the story, I thought he meant all new buildings in New York would have to be built without steel and glass. He actually means that all the existing skyscrapers in New York City have to be retrofitted by 2030 and have to have 30% of their emissions cut down by 2030, or they will face massive fines as high as $1 million or more for some of the biggest buildings. Property owners will face those fines if they don't have them retrofitted and slash emissions by 30% by 2030.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Now, let's get to the highlights.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Joe Biden's long-awaited 2020 presidential bid announcement has been pushed back to Thursday, with plans for the former vice president to follow up with an appearance in Pittsburgh next week. The lead-up to Biden's campaign launch has been clouded by confusion, while initial indications pointed to Wednesday, tomorrow, would be the day that he would announce. Sources familiar with the planning now say Biden will make his candidacy for the president official on Thursday in a video announcement. At this point, the Pittsburgh event is slated for Monday. So it looks like he'll announce by video on Thursday and be in front of a crowd on Monday.
Haven't we played a clip that he says he's already running? I thought he was running.
Well, he is. He's, but officially,
yeah. Not officially.
He has slipped up several times.
He's running officially. Right. He's raising money, but he isn't officially announced.
He's not in the race. No.
He has slipped up several times and said, Biden, of all the people running, but he's not
Biden
officially.
Biden 2020 is accepting cash donations.
Yeah. If this isn't running, what's the difference going to be?
He's officially announced that he's officially going to announce that he's going to officially run.
Officially announced. Okay, but there's some confusion. Following the deaths of three inmates in 2019 at the St. Louis County Justice Center, County Executive Steve Stenger announced on Monday the appointment of St. Louis County Police Lieutenant Colonel Troy Doyle as the interim director. Current interim director Julia Cheldy will move back to her previous position. Doyle is a division commander for the St. Louis County Police's Special Operations Department and a three-decade veteran on the force. St. Louis County says the three in-custody deaths this year are not related. The jail had zero in 2018.
As part of its recent pledge to only use recycled plastics by 2024, Adidas has revealed a new running shoe that is made from plastic garbage from the ocean and can be recycled to make new shoes. The Future Craft Loop was designed using nothing but a plastic material that is the entire sneaker, including the tongue, laces, upper, and the midsole. Adidas says it has been working on this project for the past 6 years, and the goal with it is to do its part in generating less plastic waste.
The Cardinals used a 7-run seventh inning to beat the Brewers 13-5 last night at Busch Stadium. Dexter Fowler continues his hot bat. He went 4-for-5 on Monday with 4 runs batted in, 3 runs scored. His 2-run home run in the fourth inning was his first since last July. Cardinal pitching held Cardinal killer Christian Yelich to an 0-for-4 outing. Same two teams tonight. At what time, Tony?
6:45.
The Blues' next opponent in the Stanley Cup playoffs was determined last night as the Dallas Stars outlasted the Nashville Predators in overtime 2-1, winning their series 4-2. The Stars finished 6 points behind the note in regular season. So the Blues get home ice advantage in this series. The Blues are just 1-3 against Dallas this year, but that one win was with Jordan Binnington in goal. St. Louis and former Blues draft choice Ben Bishop is the starting netminder for Dallas. And an announcement made today, the St. Louis Sports Commission will welcome the 2020 U.S. Olympic Gymnastics Team Trials to the Enterprise Center just ahead of the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games.
So we have to talk about this. Blues 1-6. Which means you
Dallas
both...
Dallas 1-6.
You were both wrong.
Somebody,
and I get...
Somebody predicted a sweep. Then somebody went the entire opposite way and
I'm sitting at home...
Winnipeg winning.
Game 6, and I'm watching the game, and I'm watching it apparently on like a 20-second delay because I start getting a group text message from these two yahoos over here, Tony and Frank.
No, the game wasn't over when I said that.
Talking smack. And then...
No, it wasn't. And I was worried.
And then Frank replies back... Whew. And I was like, Jared, I think we win. And they said, I think it's great that you were both wrong, but we're all happy because the Blues did win in 6. I do have a request, though, from a Facebook listener, Tony, and they want you to ask Frank if you can get back on the Blues bandwagon since you picked Jets.
I'm not asking Frank for anything.
I said, I'll ask the question.
You
I'll see how.
You did bail.
Hey man,
I didn't hear yesterday, but did Tim Jones say something about the Jets?
I don't believe so. No, I don't think
they said Tim and Tony need to ask Frank if they can jump back.
He mentioned something on Friday,
bandwagon.
But not yesterday.
Okay, so it's the Stars and the Blues.
Yeah,
Frank, how's the series go?
Blues in 6.
Blues in 6. Tony, do you want to ask? Do you want to confer with your Frank here before you say
no?
What's going to happen?
Blues in 4.
Well played. There you go.
Well, Tony has officially gotten back on the Blues bandwagon, so we'll allow it.
Oh. By the way, odds makers in Vegas, the Blues are the favorite team currently to win the Stanley Cup,
even in front of Vegas?
In front of everybody.
That's awesome. Can you turn this back?
With 5-1.
So the Blues. Frank says Blues in 6. Mm-hmm. Tony is confident in his sweep once again. For the Blues, though, so that's good.
He's Katie. Over here smiling. Folks.
Katie?
I'm going to go with what Frank
says. That doesn't mean anything. You're just going to go with Frank?
Yeah, sure. I trust
Fair enough.
I trust Tony, though, too.
Well, I'm not going to predict because I just like making fun of you two. Tony, are you back on the Blues bandwagon? Were you ever off?
I don't remember being off. I just remember a bad night.
It's an emotional roller coaster over here for Tony.
It is.
He's like,
the ups and
they're
downs.
Done. It's how, over. They're
how
done.
How great was...
We've
I don't
all
think
seen it.
I was here
time and time again.
The Blues won that game with that Schwartz goal with 15 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
How insane was that? That was such an awesome goal. And I actually saw it happen. If I look away from the TV, that's when the Blues score. I'm like watching all this nonsense as much as I possibly can.
See, I'm
look
bad
away.
Luck.
Ugh.
I'm bad luck. Every time I'm watching... The other
bad
team
stuff.
Scores, yeah.
Mark Cox, when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.